You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to a new week of Locked On Rockets, the home for podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Monday, the offseason is officially upon us. That's because, as expected, the Warriors closed out the Cavaliers late Friday night in Game 4 of the NBA Finals, winning their second consecutive title and third in 4 years. The Rockets pushed them to 7 games with Kevin Durant. No one else since adding Durant has even pushed the Warriors to a game 6. So certainly I would say it's a feather in the Rockets' cap as far as how close they came to knocking off the Warriors. But at the same time, it also leaves more of a bitter feeling when you factor in the Rockets were 24 minutes away twice from closing out that series, and of course a very ill-timed Chris Paul hamstring injury in the closing seconds of Game 5, which the Rockets won to go up 3-2. So while it's great that the Rockets are close, it certainly could have been much more, and perhaps one of the guys to take them, or that could easily take them to that next level beyond the Warriors, is the guy whose team was closed out in the sweep on Friday night, and that's LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Everyone knows that LeBron could be entering free agency this summer. The Rockets actually hope he's not, because the easiest way to get LeBron to Houston would be by him opting into the final year of his existing contract, the same way that Chris Paul did last year to facilitate a leveraged trade to Houston. The easiest salaries going out to get close to LeBron's massive $35 million figure would be Eric Gordon at about $13 million for the next 2 years, and Ryan Anderson at about $20 million per season for the next 2 years. And will it work out? Well, LeBron has to opt in by June 29th, which is about 2.5 weeks away, so stay tuned. Now that the Cavaliers are officially out of the playoffs, I think now LeBron's inner circle, that means his management, his family, everyone around him, can officially turn the page to the offseason. I think they've certainly bandied around some scenarios already, but now I think is when they can get down to the nitty-gritty of what scenarios are actually feasible. We'll have a little more on LeBron specifically in the latter segments of today's show. We haven't had any direct news about LeBron because, as expected, his circle keeps things fairly quiet. They have a pretty tight lid on rumors, which is to be expected when you look at his prior two free agencies in 2010 and 2014, when he left in 2010 Cleveland for Miami, and then 2014 when he went back from Miami to Cleveland. You don't get to be as great as he is, arguably the greatest ever, without having some knowledge of how to play the game both on and off the court. And so I think LeBron, of all players in the NBA, is particularly good at keeping rumors to a minimum. So I'm not stunned at the lack of news. However, we will touch on him specifically in the coming segments. For now, I'm going to discuss the one piece of news we do have, which is courtesy of Kelly Eco, based here in Houston with the USA Today Sports Group, reporting that the Rockets, this is as of Monday morning, aggressively looking to trade Ryan Anderson and even potentially buying him out later this summer if they are unable to come to a trade agreement. Now, first things first, as I've said in the past, I very much respect Kelly. He is great at what he does, and I absolutely believe that that's the intel that he's receiving. So I think that's accurate information, and I think especially the trade component, it's also sort of common sense. Look, everybody knows that Ryan's overpaid, and the key to making LeBron James deal work is to find a third team that will take Ryan Anderson, because it's highly doubtful that the Cleveland Cavaliers would be willing to pay the luxury tax. That's what they're in now, and if they receive equal salary in the LeBron trade, why would they pay the luxury tax for a team that's not going to win? If you're going to be bad, they would rather just save money along with it. So you're going to have to find a team that's not Cleveland to make the Ryan Anderson to take Ryan Anderson, but ultimately you need Ryan Anderson in that deal to make the salaries work. So put two and two together, and the Rockets are certainly looking to shop him. Worst case, maybe you find a home for him, even if you don't get LeBron, that you could potentially lessen the luxury tax impact for Tillman Fertitta, but I certainly don't think that's the focus yet. Right now, the focus is on luring LeBron James, the greatest player in NBA history, most likely, and having a home for Ryan Anderson is a big part of that pursuit. Now, one thing I want to clarify, it is very important that a trade for Ryan Anderson occurs in the same deal as Houston receiving LeBron James. if the Rockets just hypothetically traded Ryan Anderson somewhere tomorrow, it would actually lessen their odds at getting LeBron James, because the Rockets would still be an over-the-cap team, but you wouldn't have Ryan's $20 million to bridge the salary gap to make a trade work to get near the $35 million figure that is LeBron James. The Rockets, if they want to keep this group together, the group that got to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, won 65 games, franchise record, and that's the stated plan by GM Daryl Morey to this point, you're going to have to be well above the cap team, actually above luxury tax levels. So even if you were to be able to move Ryan Anderson tomorrow, you still wouldn't be able to go underneath the cap to sign LeBron. You would still be looking at a trade, either an opt-in and trade or a sign-in trade, yet you'd have far fewer pieces to make the math work. So I do buy the Rockets are aggressively looking for Ryan Anderson suitors. However, they're looking for suitors that they can fold in to a three-team deal for LeBron James. Trading him just to trade him actually lowers your odds at LeBron. So it's not like they're looking to get a deal done now. It's trying to see what their options are moving forward. Now, ideally, what you're looking for is a team that has at least some cap space, because if a team doesn't have cap space, it's not really going to give you a benefit, because then to take Ryan Anderson, they would have to send out that much salary to Cleveland, and you'd have the same problem of Cleveland and owner Dan Gilbert not being willing to pay the luxury tax, which is completely understandable for a team that post LeBron is not going to be good. So you need teams that, if not can entirely take his salary into cap room, and maybe they can but are unwilling to, but at least can take part of it. Maybe if they offload maybe a $7, $8 million salary of their own, that's not a great deal, but certainly not as bad as Ryan Anderson at $20 million a year. So it's teams like Chicago, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Sacramento. Those are the teams that stand out as potential trade options to me, because they can take at least part of that $20 million a year Ryan Anderson contract into their cap room and thus ease the burden of the financial load that would be going to Cleveland, which makes it more advantageous for them to do a deal. Because essentially with Cleveland, what you're looking for is a scenario where the Cavs feel like they are getting a better return than if LeBron James, were to walk for no compensation. If they were getting Eric Gordon, who at $13 million a year is a great contract, even if the Cavs can't use him themselves, they can flip him at a later date for positive assets. If they're getting Eric Gordon and some sort of small contract, I think that's absolutely a better scenario for them than LeBron leaving for nothing. If they're getting Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, it probably isn't, because Ryan Anderson's contract is a negative. So that's where the key is to make the deal better for Cleveland by taking Ryan Anderson out of the mix for them and going to another team. But the key is that the other team that Ryan goes to needs to be able to at least accept some of that salary into open cap space. Else, they would just be sending most likely similarly undesirable contracts to Cleveland, and it makes the whole thing go back to square one. And this, to me, is why you're hearing the buyout possibility. I've had some folks on my Twitter timeline, at Ben Dubose, tweeting at me today saying, isn't it bad news that they're leaking the buyout possibility? Because generally, when you hear a rumor of a player that could be bought out that's in trade discussions, usually what ends up happening is the team just waits them out, and then the player gets bought out, and they get the player for free. Or free in terms of limited assets, I should say. They're not having to expend trade capital to bring that player into the fold. This situation is actually the opposite. I don't buy that the Rockets are actually looking to buy out Ryan Anderson. I'll have more on that in our second segment in just a few minutes. I actually think this is a leverage play to make it more likely that a deal for Ryan Anderson gets done in June. Because right now, the big problem with a trade to a team like Chicago, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Sacramento, that's able to take Ryan into cap space and thus ease the burden on Cleveland, the big problem is timing. Because to get LeBron into an opt-in deal, that has to happen by June 29th. That's the way the Rockets can get him into the fold while still going above the luxury tax to keep the current team together. The problem with that scenario is timing. Because the Rockets need to happen in June, but you're asking a team like Chicago, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Sacramento to use at least some of their cap space on Ryan Anderson before they even try to spend it in this current free agent class, where they would undoubtedly get better contracts than Ryan Anderson would be. So if you're the Rockets, what you're dealing with, I'm sure Daryl Morey's making calls, and probably a lot of them are saying, oh, we could take Ryan, but they probably want to wait until mid-July to see, so they can take their swings at the big free agents first, and if that doesn't work out, then they can use their cap room on Ryan Anderson. In reality, this is where the Rockets need to use what leverage they have, and the buyout could be leverage. Because where this is different than a normal negotiation, I mentioned traditional buyouts. That's typically like Joe Johnson, when there was that big four-way trade at the deadline, got traded to the Kings. Joe Johnson didn't make sense, so the King, for a veteran like Joe Johnson and a bad team like the Kings, they bought him out. He went to Houston. Of course, the Rockets would wait it out because they could acquire the player without giving up any trade capital to the Kings. But in that case, and in most cases, the player is the asset. That's not the case here. Everyone knows that Ryan Anderson is a negative asset, especially bad teams. Now, there might be some good teams that might look at him the same way the Rockets looked at Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright, but they're certainly not looking to trade value. They just might look at adding him for depth if you were to come available at a later date for essentially the minimum or close to it. Wherever Ryan Anderson goes, the Rockets are going to have to give up future draft pick compensation, at least one future first-round pick, and probably two to get rid of him. Ryan is not the asset. The picks are. The reason you leak the buyout possibility, in my opinion, is to tell those teams that, hey, you can't just wait around and assume this deal is going to be on the table a month from now. If you want these picks, you need to act now. We are not able to drag this out forever. And, of course, the Rockets could say that before with regards to the June 29th deadline for LeBron or any other top free agent to opt in. But I think a lot of teams might call the Rockets bluff and look at the salary and look at the projected luxury tax bill and say, hey, if we wait around, they'll do the deal anyway just to get rid of him. Well, the buyout possibility, while it's unlikely that Ryan Anderson would give that much money back to make it advantageous to the Rockets, it's at least theoretically possible. Maybe he wants out bad enough that he can go to another team where he can play and he'd pay a little bit of money to make that scenario happen. It's not like his family isn't set for life no matter what at this point after signing that four-year, $80 million deal. Even though that's unlikely, that's some leverage the Rockets can use to say, hey, if you want those first-round draft picks, you need to act now. You can't wait us out until July because, of course, waiting until July would be unworkable for the Rockets in terms of LeBron James, which is the marquee pursuit. So the bottom line in this case, most times when there's a buyout situation and you hear the leak of a buyout, the player ultimately gets bought out, it's because the player is the asset. And the team that would potentially be receiving the player, they would just rather wait to just sign him with whatever money they have available than trade for him and give away assets. In this case, the player is not the asset. The asset is the future Rockets draft picks, and thus by leaking a scenario in which the Rockets get rid of Ryan Anderson that does not involve a trade, then it puts more pressure on those teams like a Chicago, like an Atlanta, like a Sacramento, maybe even a Brooklyn, that if they want those future draft pick considerations, you need to bite the bullet and do it now. That to me is the play here with the Rockets leaking or someone affiliated with them. I would say the combination of aggressively trying to trade Ryan Anderson and then the potential of a buyout. That to me is what's at play. I don't believe that they are actually seriously considering buying out Ryan Anderson for reasons I'll tell you about on the other side. Now, I just got done explaining why I think the Ryan Anderson buyout rumor is a leverage play. Let me explain the other side of it, which is why a buyout doesn't really make any financial sense. Unless Ryan Anderson is willing to give back a ton of money, and I doubt that's the case, most players are not in the business of doing that, and I don't think he's unhappy here. I actually think the Rockets system is one of the best ones in the league for his particular skill set. He goes a lot of other places. His deficiencies might be even more pronounced than they are here in Houston. I don't think that Ryan is desperate to leave, and unless he is desperate enough to leave to give money back, there's no real advantage to the Rockets buying him out. Because unless he's giving back a ton of money, then there really wouldn't be very many savings. If you buy him out, you'd still have his figure on your books. He'd still be a burden on your luxury tax bill. All those negatives would still be there, but you wouldn't have any of the slight positives. Slight positives being, as I mentioned, now that $20 million contract is potentially valuable filler to make the salary work in a deal for LeBron James. He's also a body at the end of your bench, he does have some positive traits. Any big that can shoot close to 40% from three, it's not like you can completely write them off in a Mike D'Antoni system. And actually, at some point, maybe as early as next summer, a year from now, but certainly by a year and a half from now, and during the 2019-2020 season, that expiring contract, $20 million, is actually going to be a positive asset for the Rockets or whoever holds it. Because with so few teams having cap space these days, and so few middle-class teams to begin with the Warriors being as great as they are, either there's a small group of teams actually trying to contend with them, which the Rockets fortunately are one of them, or you have a lot of teams that are rebuilding and seem to be in the 3 to 5 years from now mode, waiting out the Warriors. There's going to be a lot of teams, bad teams, directionless, not really going anywhere, that would trade a potentially very useful player, but ultimately it's just not really a fit there because they're not trying to win at that given time for the salary relief of Ryan Anderson's $20 million a year expiring contract. It's not the case now because there's still 2 years, $40 million left. But at some point a year from now, it will be a positive asset, assuming he's still on that deal for the Rockets or wherever he's at, especially in a league where so few teams have cap room. So whatever small benefits there are to Ryan Anderson, you lose those. And yet, you don't fix any of the problems by buying him out. It just doesn't make sense unless Ryan is willing to give back a ton of money because he is just that desperate to get out and play somewhere else. And while in a perfect scenario, maybe he would be, ultimately, I just don't see that as very realistic. That said, Ryan is a quiet guy. If you guys remember last offseason when Ryan and Carmelo Anthony, those were the rumors for over 2 months in the offseason. You never heard a peep from Ryan. He goes off the grid, and the Rockets can actually use that to their advantage because it's not like Ryan Anderson's camp is going to push back, in my opinion. He's going to be pretty quiet, and if this narrative is out there that the Rockets can buy him out, even if we sit here and say it's probably unlikely, it doesn't make sense, you can't rule it out if you're other teams because you don't know where Ryan's head is at. So with Ryan staying off the grid, and the potential being there, at least theoretically, that maybe he wants to go somewhere else and would give back some money to where it makes sense for the Rockets to do that. Because at some point, there would be a figure, if he was willing to give back, I don't know what that magic figure is, if he was willing to give back enough money as part of the buyout, where it would reduce the figure, even though getting him off the books, you would still be an above the cap team, you wouldn't have any more financial resources, you don't do a deal again just to do one, there would be a point where he gave back enough money, or when you factor in the luxury tax considerations and everything else, I think the Rockets would consider it. I don't think they do it this month, because you need his salary to make a deal for LeBron work if you're going to pursue that, and I fully expect the Rockets to at least throw their hat in the ring. But down the road, it's possible. And all you need to do is keep that option out there so that it's knowledge around the league, and that gives more incentive to those teams, again, like a Chicago, like a Sacramento, an Atlanta, a Brooklyn, to do something this month. And it actually makes sense, because here's the thing. I mentioned that the timing is the problem, that you'd have these teams that might be willing to do the deal in mid-July, but not before free agency. Well, it's largely a theoretical thing anyway, because in practice, who is actually going to want to sign with the likes of Chicago, Atlanta, the Nets, the Kings? These are bad teams. They're not ready to compete at any point in the next year or two. So unless you're going to be giving out a dramatic overpay, and that's not probably smart long term, then who are those teams going to actually sign in free agency anyway? So it's not like the Rockets are asking them to do something that is completely against their own self-interest. The reality is a good shot that either they couldn't find someone to take their money, or the few players that would take their money, it would be a dramatic overpay to the point where maybe it makes more sense for them to take Ryan Anderson, and the draft pick compensation, probably two future first, would be my guess, rather than just blindly hope entering free agency that for some reason a good free agent would go to one of those bad teams on a reasonable contract. So to sum up, I don't see buying out Ryan Anderson this summer as realistic. However, I do see why the Rockets would want that possibility to be out there, because I do think ultimately that could provide at least some leverage to tip the scales towards teams being willing to trade for Ryan Anderson in June rather than July, And that's the key if you want to pursue LeBron James, who for all intents and purposes needs to be a Rocket by June 29th, if that's going to be his destination. And that leads into the final segment, which, of course, is about LeBron James. We've talked about him indirectly throughout the show because I think plan A for the Rockets and most great teams around the NBA this offseason is LeBron James, arguably the greatest player in the history of the sport. If he's available, of course you're going to want to throw your hat in the ring. And Ryan Anderson is connected to LeBron James because for the Rockets to make the math work, they almost have to have LeBron James opt into the final year of his contract the same way that Chris Paul did this time last year to leverage a trade to Houston, because that's the only way that the Rockets could get LeBron and then keep the vast majority of the core that won 65 games and went to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. If the Rockets were to sign and trade for LeBron in July when he's a free agent, that would hard cap them, which would make it tough to keep Clint Capella and Chris Paul on top of him. So if LeBron's interested in Houston, it's pretty simple what he needs to do to give himself the best chance to win, which is to make a decision in June, and I think he'd be willing to do that if Houston is where he wants to go. And then besides that fact, besides the reality that the sign and trade would limit the Rockets' options in terms of the supporting cast, going under the cap would require just pretty much completely dismantling the current team. And at that point, if you're just starting with James Harden, Chris Paul, LeBron James, and a bunch of minimum salaried role players, what's really the incentive for LeBron? Because you're no longer the team, the supporting cast, that puts you so close to beating the Warriors and assuredly being this year's NBA title winners. So now with the Cavaliers season over, the offseason officially begins for LeBron. I'm sure he and his people, his family, they've already had plenty of discussions already. Haven't been too many concrete rumors, and the first thing I would say about LeBron, I would not necessarily expect that many rumors, at least not at first. Think back to 2014. It drug out until July 11th. The only hint we had was an airplane that Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, somehow did not keep off the books that the internet traced to Miami, which I believe everyone assumed, and I think correctly so, was to meet with LeBron James. Other than that, no one, not even the Brian Windhorst, the Chris Broussards, the Chris Haynes, the guys that are notoriously close either with LeBron or his agent Rich Paul and the whole Clutch Sports agency, even those guys did not really have that much of an indication on what was going on. The one guy who did, Lee Jenkins and the staff at SI, where LeBron wrote his infamous column explaining why he was returning home to Cleveland, they knew 48 hours in advance, and that still didn't get out. It was an incredibly tight circle. LeBron knows how to play the game after 15 years in the NBA. He knows who he can trust. So things have been quiet, and to this point, that makes a lot of sense, because the only way you could have a little more noise this time than 2014 is because if LeBron wants to trade his way anywhere, which if it's involved in Houston, it would almost have to be a trade, at that point, you might have more leaks because you have more people in the loop. Because if he has to do a trade, then that involves various front offices, and at some point, one of those guys is probably going to talk. So if you get to a trade circumstance, it's going to be a little, I would say, noisier than LeBron if he's just signing as a free agent somewhere. But as we chat now on June 11th, it's quiet, and I would expect it to be. LeBron's been through this game before. He knows who he can trust, so I don't really take anything from the lack of news other than LeBron's careful, and just like 2014, I don't think you're going to have that many regular updates. You'll have a lot of wannabe insiders and people speculating, but in terms of actual hard news, I haven't seen a lot, and until we get closer to the 29th and the first potential deadline, 29th isn't the ultimate deadline for LeBron, it's just sort of the ultimate deadline for him with Houston. He could drag it into July if he wants to become a free agent, but the 29th is the first time we actually have a little bit of real movement later in the month, when we see the first set of deadlines, which is in regards to those opt-in possibilities, the Rockets being at the forefront of that list. That said, one thing I will tell you guys in advance to keep in mind is that even if LeBron is dead set on the Rockets, even if he wants the Rockets above all else, he and his team, when I say his team, I mean his agency, his representation, they have to leverage other teams that are not the Rockets. Because the end goal for Cleveland is not Eric Gordon. The end goal for them is actually keeping LeBron James. And LeBron James is not going to go to the Rockets for the minimum or the taxpayer MLE. He's not going to take a pay cut of $30 million a year. Everyone is reasonable. If LeBron James were to make it known now through the media that he is Houston or bust, Cleveland, there's a good shot they would call his bluff, knowing that there's no financial avenue for that to happen. And rather than take Eric Gordon, which Eric Gordon is a better deal than nothing, but it's certainly not moving the needle for them as a franchise, they might hope that they could talk him into staying in free agency. For Cleveland to have a motivation to do a deal with Houston, LeBron has to leverage, he and his representation, teams that do have cap room, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, anyone else out there, where he could reasonably go in free agency, thus to get Cleveland thinking on the wavelength of, okay, maybe I do want to do a trade with the Rockets, because getting back Eric Gordon, maybe a future draft pick or two, some marginal prospects, stuff like that, that's better for me than if he walks for nothing. So it's very possible that you hear rumors about LeBron and teams that aren't the Rockets, and it could be bad, but it also, quite frankly, could be leverage as far as him pushing his way to Houston. We don't know. It's going to be frustrating, but ultimately that's what I would encourage you guys to remember going into this process. Just deep breaths, keep the perspective that A, he doesn't let much information out, period, and B, if something appears to be bad, it could very well be that it's a leverage play, because there's no way for LeBron to get to Houston without leveraging the possibility of going elsewhere into cap space. That's the only way to get LeBron to get Cleveland into the mindset that doing a deal is better than nothing. The other thing that I'll point out in closing out this podcast, just sort of initial thoughts going into now the offseason of LeBron James, now the Cavaliers are eliminated. One of the questions I also get a lot on Twitter at Ben Dubose is, what's next if LeBron says no? And we've discussed Paul George before. I think the Rockets would be interested in him, but at least in the betting markets, one of the destinations that seems to be getting some popularity for LeBron these days is the LA Lakers. I'm not oblivious to the appeal. First off, his family has had a home in LA for years, and all things being equal, I think they'd love for the family to be together. Now, it's very possible that they could live in LA or live somewhere else while LeBron plays ball somewhere else, and he could travel back and forth. He's going to have all the money in the world. So it's not impossible for them to live separately, but all things being equal, yeah, I think he would love to make it work in Cleveland or LA, one of the places where he currently has a home and his family is comfortable with. And if he goes to LA, the draw to the Lakers, it's not that they're that close already, but they could easily create two max salary slots where you could possibly have LeBron James and Paul George, which I think most of you listening are probably aware that he's an LA native, and there have been rumors tying him with the Lakers being interested in that scenario for a year plus now. So if LeBron goes to the Lakers, there's a good chance that that could take Paul George off the board as well. I do think naturally if LeBron James, say, were to stay in Cleveland, go to Philly, somewhere else, that the Rockets could turn to Paul George. But if LeBron were to choose the Lakers, that most likely takes Paul George off the board as well, because I don't really see LeBron choosing the Lakers unless the Lakers also have another star ready and waiting to take that second max salary slot. And for a lot of reasons, the most likely fit for that would be Paul George himself. So in terms of what's next, the Rockets have said they're comfortable with running it back, meaning bringing back most of the existing core, and I think they mean it when they say that. If not for the ill-timed injury to Chris Paul, the historic outlier of an 0-for-27 stretch in Game 7, and some awful officiating both Game 6 and Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, they may win it all this year. And that was just year one of the Chris Paul-James Harden partnership. Run it back, and you could very easily be in the same situation next year, but with a little bit better luck at the right time. That said, I don't think Daryl Morey is naive to the idea that the margin of error against the Warriors is so small because they have four All-Stars and two MVPs. That's why he's going after LeBron. That's why he's almost certainly going to go after Paul George if the answer on LeBron isn't positive. And if he can't get both of those guys, I think he'll be looking around the league at other possibilities, because the more All-Stars you have, the greater your margin of error is. We saw that with the Warriors this year. So while I don't think it dramatically changes the approach, they will look to bring back most of their free agents from this past year's team. At the same time, they'll also be scouring the landscape for possibilities both this summer and beyond that could potentially fill that slot if they're unable to strike a deal for a LeBron James or Paul George right now. I would say the first thing they would do is look at possibilities with player options this summer, like LeBron and Paul George, because the player options and opt-in and trade is the easiest way to add on something to your current core while giving you the flexibility to bring back all of your free agents, even going into luxury tax territory to make that happen. So you can look at other guys' player options. I mentioned DeAndre Jordan last week, who also, according to Kelly Eco, apparently has interest in Houston, but I doubt both DeAndre and the contract, most likely Ryan Anderson, have to go to the Clippers to make the math work. I doubt that scenario makes sense for what would be an 18 to 20 minutes per game role at best if the Rockets, as expected, bring back Clint Capella. So while he has a player option, I don't think that he really fits unless there's a lot of unlikely dominoes that go the Rockets' way. That said, I do think they will look around the league at other player options, but if those don't work, I actually think what you'll see is the Rockets turn their attention to free agents next summer, not waiting a year, but start sniffing out behind the scenes, just like what happened last year when Paul George was traded to the Thunder, guys who can threaten their existing team with leaving. I would say Jimmy Butler is at the forefront of that list because he is certainly not committed long-term to the Timberwolves. He actually has some Houston roots. And if that team gets skittish about the prospect of that player leaving for no compensation a year from now, they might be more willing to take a package this summer, headlined by Eric Gordon on a very favorable contract, just 29 years old, a couple of future first-round picks, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's more likely than the Rockets looking at free agents in July, because going after a free agent in July, A, the Rockets aren't going to have cap room themselves, they'll just have the taxpayer MLE, and even in sign-and-trade scenarios, a sign-and-trade is unlikely because if the Rockets accept a signed-and-traded player, then it hard-caps them at the apron level, which, as explained earlier, that's why the Rockets are looking for an opt-in trade with LeBron rather than a sign-and-trade, because if you do a sign-and-trade, then you're probably not going to be able to bring back both Chris Paul and Clint Capella in terms of keeping the core together from this past year's team. So I think if LeBron and Paul George say no, the first option, the Rockets will look at other guys with player options this summer, see if maybe there's a fit there. A team might get skittish about them leaving for nothing and want to get some compensation. Or if that doesn't work, then I think you look, start sniffing the market for 2019 guys the same way teams did around the Pacers and Paul George with his situation this time a year ago, and start saying, and maybe you know, I'm sure Chris Paul and James Harden, they're asking LeBron a lot of things behind the scenes. Okay, well, you use players to contact the likes of Jimmy Butler, whoever it may be behind the scenes as well, and tell them that, hey, you may need to put the screws on your team if you want to force your way out, and then you see what happens. That, to me, is the next step. My guess, by the way, I'll say this in closing, is that we actually have an indication on the Rockets and LeBron James by about probably the 24th, 25th. I know the 29th is the official deadline when he has to opt in, but my guess is that Chris Paul will let him know, and again, the Rockets can't contact LeBron themselves, but the NBA has said that they will not regulate player-to-player contact in terms of tampering. It's too difficult to do. So the Rockets, they'll recruit LeBron, but they'll ask for a heads-up a few days in advance of the 29th so that if the answer is negative, then the Rockets can move on to first Paul George, then other player option guys, and then from there, scouring the market for potential 2019 free agents who might can wriggle their way out of their current situations the same way that Paul George did this time a year ago when he was in Indiana. In any of them, though, the common thread is that it's going to be a trade, not free agency, because in my opinion, if you're going to bring in a big ticket addition, the Rockets are going to want to do it in a way that does not hamstring them from the standpoint of being able to keep this current team together and go into the luxury tax, and that's what a sign-and-trade for a marquee free agent would do. So with that, we'll wrap today's show. As always, thanks to y'all, our loyal listeners, for listening. Want more content in the interim? I'm on Twitter, at Ben Dubose. The show is on there, at Locked On Rockets. Also go to the email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, and a website at LockedOnRockets.com. Always, you can get in touch with me, questions for the show, suggestions, advertising inquiries, access our prior content, Would love to hear from you. Anything we can do to make this a better show, we absolutely want to do that. Also, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone. If you're not already subscribing to us, those are the best places that you can do so, and you'll get our episodes right when they come out. We entering free agency, there's very possible there could be breaking news at any moment, and when there is, we will have as close to an immediate reaction show as possible, so subscribe to us, and that's how you'll get those immediately. And if you leave us a 5-star review, that's also how we're able to make the financial model work and remain attractive to potential advertisers and make the business model work for this here at Locked On Rockets, the most regular podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So for now, I will sign off. Hope everyone has a great start to the week, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for off-season coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.